This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go. Today we want to talk about who is blessed. You know, sometimes we have a wrong description of who we think is blessed. We'll see the guy with the big car, the big house, and the big bankroll in his pocket and the gold chains, and we'll look at him and say, "Well, that guy is blessed." We'll look at the one with the good job, the CEO of the company, and we'll see that all things going well and everybody wants their autograph. We'll say, "Well, that person right there, they must be blessed." We see all of these things that we judge from the outside, and we try to get a description of what we think being blessed looks like. And so because of that, we have got a wrong distortion, and many of us will leave the blessedness that we have in order to obtain the blessedness that we perceive something to be. People begin to compromise in their morals. People begin to make bad judgment calls in order to obtain things and stuff, thinking that the things and the stuff that they obtain will equal to them being blessed. Listen, I know there's a lot of people in the world who possess many things, houses and lands, got cars, got bank accounts so big that they can't even number how much money is in there. All they know is every time they write a check, there's nothing there to cover it. They got money, they got fame, they got fortune, but do they have Jesus? See, it's not according to what a man does not have, but according to what he has. See, it's about you being in relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, salvation is something that has been made available for everyone who will receive him as Lord and Savior. For everyone. There are some people who stay on the perimeters of God because they don't want to get too close to God because they think that it's going to reveal too much about their lives. And they use excuses like, "Well, you know, I don't really want to be a hypocrite. So, you know, I'm not really ready to commit myself unto God, you know, as of yet. You know, I'm not a bad person, Pastor Don. You know, I do good deeds. I help people out when I can. You know, why do I need religion?" Well, to be honest with you, you do not need religion. And those of you thinking in order for you to be in a right relationship with God that you need religion, you're going to mess it up. Because religion will separate you. Religion will cause division. But relationship will incorporate the love of God that God has put on our lives and bring equality to people. It won't bring division because of denomination or denominationalism. See, denominational is a form of segregation within the body of Christ. And when we aspire to a particular denomination, we're elevating or separating ourselves from the rest of the body. Well, you know, we don't go over there because, you know, they Church of Christ. We don't go over there because we Baptists. You know, we don't go over there because we Pentecostal. Some people will base their entire religion and not just being reflective of what's being said today. Oh, they don't speak in tongues, so we don't go over there. Or they do speak in tongues, so we don't go over there. All of these things that we use to bring division among ourselves will cause the blessing of God to fade away from us. Why do I say that? Because we think we're blessed because of a particular denomination that we may be in. We might think that we're blessed because of a particular persuasion or the way that we believe or the way that we dress. You know, some people think about it because of the days that they worship on. Some people worship on a Saturday instead of a Sunday. And they think these things elevate them to a place to where they have favor with God and makes them blessed or above someone else. But what does the Bible says about the man who is blessed? Turn over to Psalms, if you will. 32:1. And it says, blessed is the man, or blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man on whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. See, your blessedness doesn't come from because of anything that you've done personally to obtain or to aspire to a certain position in God. Your blessedness comes because God has favored you and God has made available for you salvation. Salvation that you didn't earn or deserve, but salvation that was made available unto you because of God's demonstrated love that he demonstrated when he sent his son Jesus to the cross. Let's back up, because many people don't really understand why God had to put a plan of salvation in place. And I'm talking to you so you can barely or better describe it to others that you encounter along the way. Because when you talk about people being saved or that they have a need of a savior, they think there's something wrong with you. Here go one of those Jesus freaks. Here go one of those religious fanatics. And before they can even understand, they've already shut you down in their mind. Matter of fact, the spirit that is in them or that is driving them is the spirit of this world. And the information of this world tells them that something's wrong with you because you have faith in something that you cannot see. Because you have put your trust in a God that they've never experienced. We saw a movie the other day and it says, listen, there is no God, there's only us. We are our God. We are the power. We are the glory. Man has elevated himself in his mind thinking that his destiny is in his own hands and in his own power. And see, all he has knowledge of is this current life. And this life is only a brief experience when it comes to the eternity that God has planned for you. And because we have taken the information of this world and they have discerned right and wrong through what they process, they see you talking spiritual things and see you talking about being saved and them being delivered, and they look at you and they think that something is wrong with your head. You're weak-minded. You have to have something to cling to because you can't make it on your own. Because you don't have the Mercedes that I have. Because you don't have all of the gold chains and you don't have a big bank account and you don't have the tall building downtown like I have. And see, I'm blessed. But you understand that blessing comes from the God of this world. When Jesus was taken into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil, one of the things that the devil did was took him to a high pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of in a moment of time. He said, all this will I give unto you if you will bow down and worship me. For they have been given unto me and I give them unto whoever I will. So a lot of times when you see everybody possessing those things and they're not possessing Christ, the things that they are possessing didn't come from our Father. It came from the God of this world. And one thing about it, Satan always put a hook. He's always got a string attached. He said, if you will bow down and worship me. Some people see the big entertainers like Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rihanna and all these other ones, and they think, oh, I want to be like them. Oh, they blessed. But yet you see them representing the God of this world, throwing up Illuminati signs and throwing up all of these other things, letting you know who they belong to. Beyonce talking about when she gets on stage, she feels like another spirit takes her over named Sasha Fierce, and now she's just moving under this spirit. That's demonic possession. That ain't blessed. You're aspiring to something that God never intended for you to aspire to. Let me take you back here to Genesis for a little bit, and we're going to talk about other things and bring you back down to discover how to receive the blessedness of God. It says, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, I want you to understand that in the beginning, When God created the man and he placed him in the garden, he gave man only one restriction. He said, of all the trees of the garden you may eat of, but of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat thereof. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall what? Surely die. Only one restriction. Now, what would have happened if God had not placed that restriction on man? Would man still have died? There would be no death. But see, God has given man something that he won't cross over, and that's just free will. See, God wants you to serve him because you love him. God wants you to obey him because you respect who he is and that you honor his word and you believe that the things that God is telling you is for your good. God's not trying to control you, but God is testing you to see who you are loyal to. See, you can be loyal to God, you can be loyal to Satan, or you can be loyal to your own ambitions, aspiring to be more, even more than God. It says here, and the Lord God took the man that he put in the garden in Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. We said, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Eve and Adam ate, and then they went on, and they had Cain and Abel, and then they had Seth, and, you know, it talks about all of the years that Adam lived, and then he died. But he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So what happened? How come he didn't just drop dead the day that he ate? Spiritual death took place. See, you think about death according to your experience in this reality that you live in called life here. But God looks at you in an eternal state. See, when God created you, he created you after his image and after his likeness. And he put into you his spirit. God's spirit is eternal. It will never cease to exist. The problem or the thing that you need to determine is where will you spend your eternal existence? And under what environment will you live? The Bible said there's a place that was intended for Satan and his angels, and it's called the lake of fire, where the fiery flame is never quenched, where the worm never dies, where they're tormented both day and night, and they have no cease. Their agony does not cease. There is no relief from their torment. There's only ever increasing torment and pain for all eternity. It never gets better. You never get used to it. It's a place of eternal damnation because you cannot cease to exist. There's an organization called the Jehovah's Witnesses that tell you that, you know, the Holy Spirit is just like a car battery. It just moves its servants to do his will. And that when you die, there's no such thing as hell. And nobody's going to heaven but the 144,000 is what they tell you. And they tell you when you die, it's like turning off a light switch. You just, boom, that's it. That's it. You don't remember nothing. Ain't nothing going on. And so it makes them more comfortable with sin because the greatest thing that they can do is just not be here and know it. Just not here. Oh, if that was true, but it's not. There is a reality. Over in the book of Luke, he talks about a rich man and a poor man. How a rich man fared sumptuously every day, and there was a poor beggar named Lazarus, and both of them died. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment, in flame. But yet he saw the poor beggar that he passed by every day going in and out of his house. Could have helped him, could have changed his life, but didn't. Saw him in comfort in the bosom of Abraham. And he looked up and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may come and dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. He knew where he was. He could recognize his surroundings. He understood that he was in torment. He remembered he had brothers back at home. He wanted him to send Lazarus to go preach to his brothers. He said, listen. He said, but yeah, Lord, if they sent one that came from the dead, they'll believe. He said, listen, if they don't hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they believe though one rose up from the dead. Listen. We have the testimony of Jesus, who defeated hell, death, and the grave, who rose from the grave on the third day. We've been preaching this resurrection for over 2,000 years, and there are still people who will not believe. And the only thing that can save you is having faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness that you've done, not by how good you think you are, not by how much you give to the poor, not by how much you help old ladies across the street. It ain't got nothing to do with your works of righteousness, which are as filthy rags before the Lord. It's not by how you think about yourself. You can get in the mirror and say, listen, you look good, you smell good, you walk good, you must be good. Well, let's see what the Bible says about us. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God begins to take responsibility. Let me go back and tell you what I mean. See, when he put man in the garden and he gave him that restriction, he placed the edict of death. If he transgressed, this would happen. Well, God is so responsible over his creation that even though he is the one who placed the demand and the punishment that death would bring, he himself took responsibility for man's sin. Because he's just a God like that. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy heel, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What was he doing? He was speaking a prophetic word about a promised seed that would come of a woman, because see, she was born, put it like this, it was a virgin that conceived and bare a child. The Holy Spirit is the Father, and it came through the woman, talking about the promised seed of Jesus, who would be the one that will bring an end or conclusion for sin by sacrificing his life for the judgment that God placed. God's responsible. He said, listen, I know that y'all are hard-headed and disobedient. I know that many of y'all wouldn't serve me anyway, but some did, some wouldn't. And I know that if it wasn't for my demand, that death wouldn't even exist. So I have to have something that's going to be able to satisfy the demand. Your death couldn't do it. Why? Because when Adam partook of that, sin became a part of your DNA. So I don't care how good you think you may look in the mirror. The Bible said that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what God is trying to do is rescue you from sin. You have to take the lifeline that he's throwing out by receiving the sacrifice that he made for your sin, that you would be delivered. In spite of your rebellion, in spite of your disobedience, in spite of you going against what God told you, in spite of you become a victim of the edict of death, God said, there is a way that I can still redeem you. Because I'm going to find someone who's going to obey me. So he sent his only begotten son into the world. He said that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Sin has to be met. There's a payment. There's a demand. Over in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is a gift. It's a free gift to you. But it costs Jesus everything. But all you have to do to receive is to believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Son of God. That he died on the cross for my sins. That he was buried and rose the third day for my justification. And that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that he's coming back again to rule and reign on this earth. And he's coming back looking for those that will have faith in him, that will rule and reign with him. Do you believe in Jesus today? Or are you still trying to make it in on your good works? Are you still trying to be good enough? Do you still think you look pretty enough? You still think you're benevolent enough to other people? You think you're earning your salvation? Some people believe that there's a giant scale in heaven, and you got your good and your bad, and they're trying to get the good to outweigh the bad, because if they can tip the scales in their favor, they'll think they'll make it on in. So they go around trying to be good enough. And the only way you can be good enough is try to make somebody else think that they're not good enough. If I can hold you in sin, if I can exalt myself above you, then I can make myself righteous and you unrighteous. But self-righteousness will never cut it with God. We talked about it in our school today, and how God didn't come to exalt one above another, but he came to bring equality. See, there's some people who won't come to God because they're saying, Pastor, listen, you just don't know. You don't know how much I've done, for how long I've done it, and the things that I've done. If somebody was to tell you what I did, you probably would kick me out of this church. Let me tell you something. God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows everything there is to know about you. Turn over with me in Acts chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in himself before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame. Somebody say without blame. Before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us, somebody say he has made us, accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, in whom we have redemption, that means you have been bought back. So in order for you to be bought back, you first had to be sold in to something. You were sold into sin. You got sold out in the Garden of Eden. Because of one man's sin, sin passed on to all men. Remember what Satan told Jesus in the wilderness. He said, all of these kingdoms and the glory thereof are mine. They have been given unto me, and I give them unto whoever I will. Well, when did he take them? When did he get the glory of all the kingdoms? In the garden, there was an exchange. One of the titles of Satan is called the God of this world. How did he receive that title? Who was in control before him? Adam. And when he made a proposition to Adam and came to Eve and told Eve, first off, say, Eve, hath not God surely said, you can eat of all the trees? Yeah. No, God said we can eat of all the trees except for the tree of good and knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden. And she went on and embellished it a little bit and said, not only should we not touch it, look at it, but we can't even touch it. You know, at least we die. Have not God. He said, what's the nigga asking? God said, thou shalt not surely die. God's hiding something from you, child. God don't want no competition. God don't want to raise. He don't really want to release the full potential in your life. Because God knows in the day that you eat of this, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. And they saw that the tree was good for fruit and one to make one wise, and she took and ate and gave to her husband that was with her, and he did eat. But what they did was they disobeyed the word of God, and they obeyed the lie of Satan. And when they did that, he put themselves in subjection unto the one that they obeyed. Therefore, there was a transference of their authority unto the one that they obeyed. So they lost their authority in the earth, and it was transferred over into Satan, and Satan became the god of this world because now man was in subjection unto him and under his influence. He usurped it. So God couldn't just go down and just kick Satan in the back of the head and take it back. That wouldn't have been right, because that's not how Satan took it. The way he took it was he convinced man to follow him. So how we get it back? Second Adam. His name is Jesus. The same Cain. Tempted in the wilderness. And every time the devil would tempt something, the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He said, listen, I'm defaulting back to what my father said, and it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And every time Satan would try to make him an offer, he wouldn't think about his own thing. He wouldn't try to aspire. He wouldn't try to get his own ambition. He said, it is written. He defaulted back to the one he was under the authority of. He said, I come from my father. He said, you are of the earth and are earthly. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. He told his Pharisees, you speak the things that you hear with your father, and I speak the things that I hear with my father. It's better to obey God than man. It's better to trust in the living God than put your faith in the trust of man. And because Satan could not get him to yield, he said, I got one here I got a problem with. Satan only got three agendas. That's to steal, kill, and destroy. If I can't get him to listen to me, I'm going to kill him. If I can't get him to obey me, I'm going to kill him. The Bible said if the prince of this world, if they had known God's plan, they would not have crucified Jesus. They didn't know that God had a plan that was through redemption, because he didn't understand. He didn't remember that the wages of sin is death, and there was somebody who was about to step up and to pay the price to set you free. So although Satan thought he was about to forge a plan to murder Jesus, Jesus told his disciples and said, listen, no man take my life. I have the power to lay it down, and I have a power to take it up again. And this authority I didn't receive from the God of this world. This authority I received from my Father. And so Jesus went to the cross, and he paid the sin debt. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and it's by his stripes that we're healed. It's because of what he did. He who knew no sin became sin for us, because we were bound up in sin, sold into sin, on our way to hell with no redemptive plan. But he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we can become in right standing and be the righteousness of God through him. We were redeemed. We were bought back. We were bought with a price. The price was the precious blood of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp, yeah. Blood.